sense. You with us clap your hands. All nature breathe out his name. Let praise resound. Let praise resound all around. Creation sing with one voice. To the glory of the maker of all.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back and lovely to see you all this beautiful sunny morning. The notices and stuff, there's a number of them that come at the end, so we'll skip that bit for the moment. But let us prepare to worship God as I light the candle for peace and for hope, and then we will have a few moments of quiet reflection. Our call to worship this morning, Psalm 145, verses 10 and 2:12. Creation and creatures applaud you, God. Your holy peoples bless you. They talk about the glories of your rule. They exclaim over your splendor, letting the world know of your power for good, the lavish splendor of your kingdom. Amen. And that was from the Modern Message paraphrase. Let us join together and come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, you have created all things good. Nothing is beyond your reach or your redemption. You are the God of the whole universe, all of creation, and yet you are mindful of us. You call on us to reveal your presence and to speak of your faithfulness from generation to generation. Wherever we gather, you are there. You were there before we arrived, and you will be there when we leave. Your presence makes every space a sacred space. You delight in our praise and rejoice in all your people who find a way to acknowledge your presence in our world and in our lives. May our worship bring us back to you and increase our awareness of your beating heart at the center of life, calming our fears, restoring our souls, knowing ourselves beloved of God, united with all your creatures in heaven and on earth. Almighty God, we confess that often our eyes are so downcast that we fail to discern God's presence all around. We confess that even when God's presence is startling, we can be so wrapped up in ourselves that we fail to notice. We confess that we have missed opportunities to witness to the presence of God at work in our lives and in the lives of others. We confess that we rarely live up to the marks of being Christian by grasping too tightly all that we have and by excluding others from our own tightly drawn circle. Forgive us, O God. Lift up our eyes to see you everywhere. Draw us out of ourselves to discern your presence all around. Give us boldness to proclaim your works. Release us from the boundaries that we set ourselves, freeing us to love and welcome others in your name. Commission us anew this day in the light of your forgiveness to draw attention to you in all life. Amen. Our first hymn, how on earth we're not going to be able to sing along to this one, I've got no idea, but we'll have to sort of hum quietly in our heads or something to How Great Thou Art.
I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Last week, Sam gave us plenty to think about on the theme of forgiveness, and we begin our reflections this week that are based on Psalm 145 by following up on that theme. Because in verses 8 and 9 of the psalm we read, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all that he has made." The psalmist sings of God's love for all creation, and our response to that will be my theme for just a few moments' time. But as we all know, people have the habit of messing things up. And occasionally, humanity does that big time. This is one of the themes of the story of the Garden of Eden, of how the first people broke the harmony of the relationships balanced in that place. And thus begins the story of God's salvation plans for all of us. Christian performance poet Di Woolridge has produced a superb work in conjunction with Bible Society to get us thinking about the season of creation time that we are now in. So if I've pronounced his name correctly, Gareth was trying to give me lessons before the start of the service of how to pronounce Di properly, but I'm still not well, so I give up. Anyway, let's watch together Eden.
Rewind the clock. Stop at the start. There was nothing but darkness. Nothing existed. Nothing was listed, not one book. You couldn't even like something on Facebook until, boom, a voice spoke something out of the nothing, swapping nothing for something as God of creation created something from nothing. God who? the grafter of galaxies and crafter of creation, who turned on the solar and kicked off the system, who positioned the planets, orchestrated their orbits, who seasoned the sea and laid out the land, who mapped out the mountains and set out the sand, who made birds of the air and fish of the sea, who made mammals and animals, made you and me, pinnacle of what's physical, ever better than the rest, even better than Everest. Grander than the canyon, with more depth than the ocean, formed us from the dust, he breathed us into motion. And as the maker strolled through the trees with their luscious leaves, there strolled with him two, Adam and Eve. A two-way relationship of three, in perfect harmony, an ever-flowing fountain of friendship with the ever-knowing, showing one rule, don't eat fruit from that tree. You see, that tree is out of bounds. On what grounds, says this slippery voice, then a choice or a trick, a serpent so slick, why can't you eat fruit from that tree? The serpent deceives Adam and Eve. A low-hanging fruit crunched, the off-limits fruit munched and eaten, and now there's just mess as sin takes its stage in the Garden of Eden. Sin breaks in and it changes everything. Perfection gets pierced, the friendship gets frayed, a rule broken, and now brokenness gets displayed, which makes for newfound open eyes, seeing the sin reality of sadness, pain, and lies. And as separation strolls in, it comes as no surprise that Adam and Eve leave the garden with the lushest leaves. And though God, the glorious gardener, is heartbroken, from the offset he sets his restoration plan to motion, the irreversible will be reversed, the wreckage rectified, the penalty paid for, dealt with, and justified. One day what you've broken, I'll fix and restore, but it won't just be a touch-up job, but perfect, even better than before. One day I'll win you back, one day we'll be together once more. Fast forward to the festive, a messenger surprise. Shepherds in awe and wonder as the angels fill the skies. Mary's explanation of the conception situation that Joseph first off thinks are lies. Gift-giving astronomers with wisdom in their minds and worship in their hearts, and they can't believe their eyes because God's plan right from the start was a baby. And maybe it seems there's nothing stranger, but this baby in the manger was God's son who'd rise up to become our savior, and what had birthed from a brokenness back when Eden, friendship frayed, was now carried on a cross as the penalty on him was nailed. Creation held its breath and went into mourning. And as morning finished its shift and day turned to noon, the sun turned off its light, sky like night in the afternoon, death came. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door as God's son breathed his last breath in no more. But there's more to the story, because death couldn't hold him. The grave could not control him. Life burst through, the tombstone sent rolling, because Jesus, the Savior's in the business of restoring. Payment completed. We can now be forgiven. Our sin curse defeated because he is risen. And so the remit's reclaimed. Restoration, a new hope and creation, with the promise of a new world that's beyond our imagination. And it doesn't need any backing from dragons, Deborah Mead, then it's God's business happening anyway. The promise of perfect Eden, perfectly planted trees, showcasing their luscious leaves, flowers dancing in the sunlight to the beat of the rhythmic breeze. No need for antihistamines, because these won't make you sneeze. A view that will leave you breathless. The hanging gardens of Babylon won't have a garden patch on this place, but the view is just a warm-up act compared to the main show. The God gardener himself, the maker, the molder, creator, the crafter, who invites us into paradise to play forever after. No more sin, no more pain, no more brokenness, no more shame, no more tears, no more sorrow. That's the perfect Eden promise of tomorrow.
So this week and next, and probably the week after, we'll start thinking through about what Di Waldridge called the perfect Eden promise. We begin by returning to Psalm 145, and I'll read verses 1 to 13 from the New Revised Standard Version. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to all your people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. Amen. Back to verse 10. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. The Psalms continue to be a treasure trove for faith. And this week I've turned to the heart of Psalm 145, the psalm set for today, as the inspiration for our reflections. In the church year, we are now in the season of creation time, a period centered around harvest, when we turn our attention to environmental matters, and this will be the theme of this week and next. I'd like to begin our thoughts on how we, all of us as God's people, are connected within God's wider creation. Now, as the people from Princes Street here are aware, I find the Ubuntu theology of Desmond Tutu very influential. To be succinct about his ideas, they're based on the African concept of related community, and they're summed up in the phrase, "I am because we are." I love that. I am because we are. It's a lovely way of thinking about how the individual, you or me, coexist within networks of relationships. I think this is really important to keep in the forefront of our minds at present, as I feel that the growth in community spirit that blossomed as we all worked together to combat the COVID crisis is now beginning to fade. And the emphasis is reverting once more to look after number one, when actually we need to consider each other and rely on others increasingly as we are gradually getting pushed back into isolation. Not only do we, as this little colony of God's kingdom, need to live and love community, I think that we could expand our horizons too. What I'd like to suggest today is that our interdependency reaches beyond just the interpersonal as we expand our view to include all of God's creation. It is, after all, our home that God has given us to look after. And key to this is that 10th verse of Psalm 145 that I began the talk with. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. Note the word, repeat the word all. The phrase doesn't just cover some of the best bits of creation. I mean, things like areas of great national beauty and that sort of thing. And it isn't just a few selected people like bishops and priests that do the praising either. It's all of creation giving thanks to God and all of the faithful responding in blessing. Even though the psalm begins in the first person, for example, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever, that's verse 2, its scope widens as the psalmist sings worldwide. The horizon widens, expressing something that has caught my attention from this psalm, that people and creation are not separate entities to God. We are connected together. Thus, our praise and worship is a part of the chorus of creation too. As such, what we put into voice or make through our creative gifts should include the wider scope of those and all that is around us. It's offering up praise to God who made and sustains all of this. Not just you or me. Yes, we are precious. But we are also part of an equally precious whole. And our lives and our worship should reflect this sense of belonging within God's creation in this way. The Celtic angle on spirituality has a particular emphasis on seeing God's presence in all of the seasons of nature and of daily life, as well as the high and holy days. What we know of as Celtic Christianity today is, in my view, rather stylized, but it's engaging nonetheless. And there is a famous book by Alexander Carmichael called the Carmina Gadelica, who collected songs and blessings and all these sorts of things from the Scottish Isles at the turn of the 19th century. And it has all sorts in it. There's blessings and stuff from going out fishing to milking the cow to doing the laundry, there's planting, there's harvesting, as well as worship. And it reflects God connected with the environment and with everyday life. And there are several modern-day writers and artists working with the same themes, and I'm going to finish with one of them. So it's worth being reminded that our part of our regular daily worship, just like Psalm 145 shows us, should include coming together with the voice of creation. Do you know, I tried it on holiday. In fact, it's probably just as well that there was nobody else about, when I stood next to a cairn atop a hill in Northumbria shouting, "Thank you, God!" I did look a bit of a wally doing it. But before this all gets too misty-eyed with flower blooms and butterflies, I'm also aware of the fact that life isn't always sunshine and calm waters. Creation can turn nasty. It does go wrong with terrible consequences. And I think Audrey will be reflecting on the problems of climate change next week, so I'm not going to dwell on that aspect. But viruses and diseases kill. Storms and floods, as well as drought and wildfires, cause terrible suffering. And as we are reflecting on our worship response today, let us not forget that lament and intercessory prayer are as much a part of what we can do as praises. It is a natural part of our worship to give voice to our hurts, and plead in prayer for others who are suffering. And added to all of this is action. Not only rejoicing when others rejoice, but weeping alongside them when they weep too. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that for the last few moments, we've reflected on our part, our sense of being part of creation and how that frames our worship. And I've accidentally moved us away from the direction of all that is there in Psalm 145. The psalmist reminds us that there is another aspect to this all. For there is a generational element of our lives of faith too. This beautiful and sometimes terrifying home of ours that is set within the universe, which stretches beyond the limits of science and imagination, has been around for a very, very long time. And it will all still be here long after our time of caretaking has finished. We are part of another cycle of interconnections, and it spreads across time. That is the second aspect of all. And this is clearly illustrated by the fact that we are using a text written thousands of years ago to help us understand our part within creation's praise when we are in the age of fantastic computers and interplanetary exploration. We have a duty to not only honour the past and to navigate our own responsibilities, but we also need to consider the generations yet to come, as verses 4 and 13 of Psalm 145 tell us. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. It's awe-inspiring when we stop to think that we are connected with each other across the whole world through the bond of our common humanity, but also that we are inextricably linked into God's creation too, and that God's forgiving love and care that surrounds us, sustains us and our home, has been and will continue to be for all time. That's mind-blowing. But as to the practical aspects of how we relate praise and practical action, well, maybe that's for next week, and it's certainly for an ongoing conversation. And I shall end with a prayer of consecration written by David Adam in his book, Tides and Seasons, Modern Prayers in the Celtic Tradition. Father, bless to me the dawn, bless to me the coming morn. Bless all that my eyes will see, bless all that will come to me. Bless my neighbour and my friend, bless until our journey's end. Bless the traveller to our shore, bless the stranger at our door. Bless to me the opening year, bless all to me who are to me dear. Bless, O Lord, this day of days, bless with riches all our ways. Amen. Our next hymn, God the Maker of the Heavens.
God the maker of the heavens,
We turn to God once more with our prayers, for our prayers of concern, and they will conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Creator God, we know you love all that you have made, the world and all its creatures. We know that your love gathers and enfolds all things, and your heart must break when any part of that creation suffers. So, God, as our awareness grows of your presence all around, may we be so attuned that we weep where you weep, and our hearts break where yours is broken. Parent God, in love, you will kneel beside us and patiently show us how to make things better, how to heal the damage humanity is causing to this precious home of ours. We ask that you will affirm us and give us each a unique part to play in changing this world, in ushering in your justice and peace. So, God, prepared to roll up our sleeves and work alongside you, we pray for world leaders, that they too may be filled with your wisdom and love and your healing power. We pray that their imaginations and ours too may be opened to find new way forwards and possibilities that abound for honoring all of creation and for building nations where all are valued, where all matter, where the economy is modeled on your divine economy. We pray for all who live in fear today, and for those whose fears have been realized, those who mourn loved ones, those who see no light of dawn after the darkness. We pray too for those who have given up hoping for different or better. May we hold out hope and faith enough for the world, and may we continue to live in love. God, awaken us to your truth and your light, to all the opportunities we have of emerging from darkness, fueled by new energy to make our world, our church, and our neighborhoods beacons of hope that is realized in serving you by serving one another. And we also offer up in prayer our concerns and continued anxieties over the damaging effects of COVID-19 right across the world as infection rates soar and the poorest are hardest hit. And here in our own country, we pray for wisdom amongst government leaders to know how best to respond as the situation here seems to be worsening once more. Loving God, we pray for all of those most affected by this pandemic, those who are ill, those losing their livelihoods from the economic consequences too, and all of those working so hard in the NHS, working to protect us and to heal those who are ill. And finally, in a time of quiet, we pray for the people who are on our hearts, people we know who are suffering in any way and who really need God's help and support and healing this day. We conclude our prayers by saying, and if you wish, signing the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, a fairly new one, For the Distant Clouds. Peter, I forgot to ask, have you got Sam's grace? Right, splendid. We'll follow Sam by sharing the grace together.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all, now and forevermore.
Amen. as promised, the notices. Next week, Audrey is leading our worship, and it's based on Environment Sunday, so it's sort of like the second part of what I've been going on about. The following week after that, being the 4th of October, is our Harvest Festival, and that will include Holy Communion. We're trying a whole new way of sharing communion. We'll see how it works out. So the usual procedure.